Hey folks, today on the E-Commerce Money Map podcast, we're hearing from Regina Peterbergsky. Regina is a seven-figure Amazon seller and host of the Women on Amazon podcast. She shares a lot of great insights about how she found her success and about how others can get there too. Enjoy.
Hey, Salim Omar here from the E-Commerce Money Map podcast, bringing you another amazing guest. Today, our guest is none other than Regina Peterbergsky. She is a successful seven-figure Amazon seller. She now spends her time building Amazon brands and helping others do the same in between single-handedly raising her 10-year-old daughter. And having met and been inspired by so many successful Amazon sellers who are not from the e-commerce niche or industry, in the spirit of educating and inspiring others, Regina now hosts the Women on Amazon podcast and community, which aims to amplify women's voices in the Amazon and e-com space. Welcome, Regina.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Salim. I'm honored to be a guest on your show. Thank you.
Now, you've got such an amazing background. Before you got into the e-commerce niche or, you know, in the e-commerce business, you know, tell us, you know, kind of a big picture, 30,000 foot view of who is Regina?
Oh, that's a really good question and one that people don't tend to ask. I have a long history of being really bad at working for other people. I think the only proper jobs I've ever had, I've always been fired from. So I've always sort of had to find ways to support myself and generate money in different ways. I spent many years selling all sorts of stuff on commission. I think I've sold pretty much everything except houses. I've sold insurance. I've sold cars. Sold art, everything. I then spent about 10 years actually traveling the world for a living, where I was taking people away on holidays. So I had like the best, even though it was a job, it wasn't really a job, it was a life, traveling around the world. And then when I stopped doing that, I got into bricks and mortar retail for my sins. I opened a fashion retail business. And I ended up having that for 10 years. And it got to the stage where my child, I had a child at the same time, of course, as you do. My child was getting to the stage where 6-7 days a week working in this retail store was not working for us as a family. And so I had to start looking for ways that I could support us. That didn't involve me working on the shop floor 6 days a week and all school holidays. So that's how I sort of got into e-commerce. And before I discovered Amazon, I did try a couple of other things. I did build out my own e-com store. This is before Shopify was what it is. So I actually spent, I think it was $30,000 building a website. And that was doing really well until, of course, Google changed their algorithm. And then overnight, I went from ranking number one for all my keywords on Google Australia to ranking nowhere, and that business sort of collapsed. So when I saw the Amazon FBA private label opportunity, it completely made sense to me because of my retail and previous online experience. So that's the very short précis of how I got to be where I am.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you had a retail store in Australia. Where in Australia were you based out of?
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
And were you selling the same product in your retail store that you transitioned and pivoted to selling online, or was it a different product?
No, completely different, because in my retail store I was in women's fashion, which is a very fickle beast. And so when I started my first online store, I decided to do something that was non-fashionable. So I actually did baby clothes. But when I went into Amazon, I thought, right, I need to go even more consumer-driven than that. I wanted something that was not going to go out of fashion, that would be a consistent regular seller that people could sell again. So I actually went into the stationery and arts and crafts field. And I still am in those sorts of in that and related niches. So totally different.
Got it.
So I used the knowledge that I had from my other businesses. You know, I had sourced from overseas before. I had actually sourced and manufactured in China previously. So I had relationships already. I understood international shipping. I understood international trade. So for me, the missing piece was that sort of Amazon and the FBA piece was the missing piece that made it absolutely make sense for the business model for me personally.
Yeah. And when was that, when you made the transition from retail to online?
I started Amazon as my side hustle in 2015. So there was about a year overlap where I was running both the businesses. And in 2016, I actually literally closed the doors and walked away from my retail business because my Amazon business was throwing out a lot more cash. And I, you know, didn't need to sort of be paying exorbitant retail space rent anymore. So there was a year of overlap. So since 2016, so what, coming up to 5 years, I've been exclusively selling online.
Yeah. And I don't know if you'll recollect this, Regina, what was your biggest fear going into online, making that big transition from one way of selling to another?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think it was less of a fear and more of a, well, this is sort of like the third online venture I'm going to try. Is this one going to work? Because I had already previously tried to take my fashion store online, and that was a complete disaster. So this is sort of like my third sort of online venture. I knew online was where it was at. It was just a matter of finding the right way for me to do it.
How did you go about that? What did you do? Like the one thing you did to make sure that your thing was a success, and it is a success. It's seven figures.
Well, again, it was around finding a product that was completely the opposite to what I previously had, I guess. Mm. And also because I had experience in branding and marketing, unique selling proposition, the USP was super important to me. So when I was, niching down my products and looking at my branding, it was, what am I going to do that's different, that's going to make me stand out? And that USP became my whole branding. And all of my listings and everything that I do with my brand is related back to that original USP. You know, it's that old, building a better mousetrap. I didn't invent a new product, but I made it better.
Yeah, I love that. What are some of the ways to make money on Amazon?
Well, good question, Salim. I personally use what we call, private labels. So I build my own brands. And I sell them on Amazon FBA. However, since this, I realized that there's at least seven, if not more. So the different ways that people can make money on Amazon, they can write books and sell them KDP. They can create artworks and upload them onto merchandise using Amazon Merch. They can do arbitrage. So they can buy things in retail stores or online that are selling for less elsewhere and for more on Amazon. So it's arbitrage is a way. That's a little bit time consuming, but it's very possible. And wholesale is a very, very big way of selling on Amazon, where you're actually not creating your own brand, but finding other brands or just, brands through distributors or directly through brands and selling that, somebody else's product. So you're buying them at a wholesale price discount and selling them. So that's some of the other ways. So building your own brand is not the exclusive and not the only way to use Amazon and harness Amazon as a traffic source for your products.
Yeah. So now you've been at it for 5 years, you've built a successful business. Mm-hmm. What are the real pitfalls of selling on Amazon that people don't know about, that you don't get from, browsing the internet? So we're really looking for some juicy stuff from somebody who's been there.
Okay. So everybody who's selling a course or a training wants to paint a very rosy picture. And there's a lot of success to be had. But there is also a lot of people who don't become successful because they're not aware that there are things that can happen. And the first and foremost is Amazon is a movable beast, and that they can change their rules. You know, it's their sandbox and we're just playing in it, and they can change their rules at any given time, and often do, that can throw up challenges. And so one of the most important things in this is being flexible and being able to pivot fast. So, you know, they're changing their inventory limits, so how many units you can send into their FBA centers. That sort of has changed at least three times in the last 12 months. So we have to learn how to pivot. So it's basically being able to duck and dive on your entrepreneurial journey. I think inflexibility is really important. The other thing that people don't realize is in a physical products business is it can be quite cash intensive, especially if you have a successful product. Because in order to sell $1 million worth of product, you actually, depending on your profit margin, need to have, you know, between $300,000 to $500,000 worth of inventory, if not more, sitting in warehouses. So it can be very cash intensive. And that's something that a lot of sellers don't understand. You know, they see these big numbers and they say, they think, well, with $500, I can build a $1 million business. Well, you can, but it's not going to be overnight if you don't have outside funding. So that's probably one of the biggest things that people don't realize. You know, I know when my first product took off, and it took off fast, you know, I was scrambling to fund the inventory I needed in order to grow.
Yeah, that's great insights. Now, you started your own private label brand. Why was that?
Why was that? Because when I saw this business model, I did a training course, and that's what I was told to do. I didn't know that there was other business models I could use for Amazon. And again, I had previously already had my own private label brand in my fashion business. You know, I understood that. I understood what branding was about. So for me, it was not a big deal. You know, it was, okay, come up with a concept, get some designs made, find a factory, put my own branding up. You know, for me, that was not something that was foreign. You know, it felt natural to do. So I guess that's why. And again, as an Amazon seller, if you have your own brand, you do have a lot of protection. You know, Amazon protects your buy box. And every year, you know, Amazon is sending signals that it's looking more and more for people who are brands that are selling, rather than just, you know, throw up another pair of barbecue tongs that looks the same as the next one. That's why I did it. And that's why I recommend that the approach that people take if they're looking to sell on Amazon.
Yeah. Why are you so successful on Amazon when, you know, you hear so many folks that are not? What are your secrets?
Yeah, look, my secrets, they're so not secret, because I think it comes down to the basics. Is when I started, I treated this as any other business. Coming out of retail, where, you know, I spent $250,000 just on a shop fit out before I even opened the doors. Okay, so I knew what it took to invest in brands. So for me, you know, my initial inventory order and all the branding, everything was less than $10,000 on Amazon. So for me, this was like Christmas. Like, oh my God, this is so easy. Like, why isn't everybody doing it? In terms of why I was successful, was I think, A, I took it as a serious business, not a get-rich-quick scheme, and I treated it as such. And number two is what I mentioned before, was that real, you know, unique selling proposition in my niche. I researched my niche very thoroughly as to what was going on in there and what the trends were and what the problems the customers were having, and I fixed those problems. So it's business 101, you know, not a secret at all.
Yeah. So you paid a lot of attention to branding, really understanding your customer and designing really, I mean, you mentioned USP, unique selling proposition.
Correct.
Giving them what they wanted, right?
Well, giving them something that you know they wanted. Because I was reading the negative reviews and the complaints were all the same, but nobody had actually fixed that problem. So when I sort of came in and said, right, you know, here it is, it was like very easy. And my product took off super fast.
Yeah. I mean, really recognizing the importance of being customer-centric rather than being product-centric, right? Oh. I mean, the inclination for an entrepreneur or business owner is, you know, becoming product-obsessed and not customer-obsessed.
Exactly. It's very much around the customer. And then as I've built out my brands, I've looked at, you know, what else would this same customer buy? Because that makes it much easier. You know, your second, third, fourth product is much easier to build out in the brand because you can see what else they're buying and you can offer it to them. So, yes, absolutely. And of course, that's Amazon's obsession. You know, if you read anything about Jeff Bezos and his background and what he's doing with Amazon, everything is about the customer.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately sometimes is not so good for us as sellers, but we have to, you know, if we understand that, and we, as I said before, we're playing in his sandbox.
Yeah. You know, one of the best forms of education that I've had is reading Jeff Bezos's annual shareholder letter.
Ah, yes.
And I read them from day one or year one all the way till this year. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing. I mean, you know, you just learn a lot of the journey, the obsession, you know, what was important.
Yeah.
And, you know, any business, any e-commerce business can apply those same principles in their own business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regina, what's the, you know, when it comes to accounting firms and working with an accountant, what's the best conversation or the most important conversation that an e-commerce business needs to have with their accountant?
Well, there's a couple. Firstly, I think it's important that the accountant that you work with actually understands your business and understands your business model. There are a lot of, you know, generalist accountants. But if you're an e-commerce or if you're an Amazon, I think it's really important that the accountant that you engage really understands the vagaries of what that means and the implications of a physical products business. I think the other conversation you need to have is in this business, there's lots of cash requirements, as I mentioned before, for inventory. So I think inventory planning is something that's really important in a physical products business, whether that's on Amazon or an e-commerce or however you do it. And, you know, understanding cash flow is super important because entrepreneurs, you know, we tend to be bigger picture people, and it's important to have somebody on our team who understands the minutiae of cash flow. So I would really encourage your listeners, if they're in this business, to really look at having that discussion with their accountants. You know, how are they going to grow? How are they going to fund their growth? Where is it going to come from? Is it going to come from organic growth? Are they going to be able to take money out to support their lifestyle? Or are they going to be able to, or are they going to have to find funding to fund their growth? So I think those are the really important conversations that need to be had. Also, long-term exit, I think is also something that should be discussed with your accountant. What are your goals for your business? Because depending on what your goals are, you're going to have to structure. You can structure your business in different ways. So if you're looking for an exit, there are certain things that your accountant will advise you to do that are different than if you're just looking for a cash flow business. That's the conversations that I would be advising people have.
Yeah, makes so much sense. Now, you said you were in for the long run. Yeah, you know, two things you mentioned. One was a brand, and then the other one was, you know, staying in for the long run. What does that mean? What did that mean for you? How was your mindset approaching your business in that way?
Okay, well, my mindset, it comes down to the why. You know, why do you want to be in business? And for me, when I got into this business, I had a very strong plan that in 2022, so remember, this was in 2015 when I started, but I knew that in 2022, my daughter and I would take a year off and spend a year traveling. Okay, now, of course, now that's been pushed out to 2023, given what's going on in the world. Right. However, that was always the plan. So I knew that by that stage, I needed to have a certain amount of cash in the bank to be able to allow us to do that. And of course, I wanted to be able to live, you know, quite nicely between now and then. So I had that sort of 6-7 year plan was always in mind, and that's my why. And I think that's really important for business owners, irrespective of what sort of business they're in. You know, why are you doing this? what's going to get you through those times where you open the computer and something unexpected has happened and you've got to fix it. And you sort of go, okay, so it all comes back to what's your motivation? What is your why? So for me, I had a very, very solid idea of what I was wanting to accomplish and in what time frame.
Yeah, that's great. What's the number one most important requirement to be a successful entrepreneur?
Oh, mindset. It really comes down to mindset. And some people are just not cut out to be entrepreneurs, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it requires a certain type of personality. And also, you know, entrepreneurs come in all sorts of different stripes, and different business models work better for different types of people. So I think it's knowing your own personal strengths and weaknesses, knowing your risk tolerance, you know, how much you're prepared to put on the line to achieve your goals. I think that's really the number one most important thing. It's knowing yourself and knowing where you best fit into this entrepreneurial world and which particular business model is right for you.
Yeah, that's so good, so important. Yeah. Regina, this has been so good. Thank you for sharing all the information. I've got a few more questions that I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
First one would be, who's been your biggest influence? Or it could be a book you read, it could be a seminar you attended, it could be a person that you've met with, a coach, a mentor. Who's been that for you?
Oh, look, you know what? There's been so many over the years. I've been doing different. I think I've spent more money on personal and business development and books over the last 30 years than just about anybody else I know. I was a follower of Robert Kiyosaki before he was Robert Kiyosaki. You know, he was actually, you know, famous in Australia here 30 years ago, and I was doing trainings with him before he even wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. So he was a very early influence. You know, I follow Tony Robbins. I've done some of his trainings. You know, books. I can't tell you. There's just so many that I've absolutely loved in the Amazon space. Like in this particular business, when I first started, my biggest mentor was Jason Fladlin from Rapid Crush, who was able to sort of distill the information that was out there in a way that I found most useful, because there's so much information, and it's a matter, I think, of finding a person that that makes sense to you. So Jason was the person who did it for me. He's no longer in this space, but I still follow him in other things that he's doing. So yeah, lots of different people. I don't like to use the term guru because follow information from where you get it.
Yeah. And, you know, Regina, I'm not surprised to listen or to hear to your response to my question, what's been the biggest influence, and you saying that there have been so many and how much you've invested in yourself through personal and business education, because, you know, to really connect it to mindset, you know, that is the mindset of an entrepreneur, is to constantly want to do things in a better way, to find solutions to problems. And there are going to be obstacles, and those are the biggest opportunities as well. And this is just how an entrepreneur thinks.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's what gets us from, you know, further every day.
Exactly. Exactly. To be honest, I would rather spend money on a training course than on a holiday. You know, that's just my that's my thing.
Yeah. 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 And from personal experience, been in business for 25 years myself in the US, you know, born and raised in Kenya, you know, came here with, you know, for a college education, and then, you know, went into entrepreneurship. You know, for me, it's been my biggest ROI, my biggest return on investment has come from more than the education. The formal education I did was the informal education that I did. And that's been pretty amazing.
Oh, well, you know, I actually never completed a university degree. I started two different university degrees and failed both. So formal education, I don't hold, you know, unless you're going into a profession.
Yes.
Like, you know, doctor, lawyer, accountant. If you were going to be an entrepreneur, you may as well just get out there and do it. you know, forget your 3 years of college or 4 years of college, just get out there and boots on the ground. That's my thinking on it anyway.
Yeah. What's been your biggest lesson in your business life in entrepreneurship?
Learning how to pivoting fast. You know, that's when I was in when I bought my retail store, I actually bought my fashion business from somebody else. And, you know, with 2020 hindsight, if I knew then what I know now, never in a million years would I have done that. But that's the way it is. You know, you learn, you know, after a few years, understanding that the nature of consumer behavior was changing and being able to pivot. As I said, like I tried twice online businesses before I found my third one that actually worked for me. So I think it's the not being discouraged and trying new things and being able to pivot and seeing where things are going. And still every day, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Amazon keeps throwing things at us. So we have to, you know, to know how to pivot even within a successful business. We're constantly learning and growing. So I think that's super important.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I want you to share how people can reach out to you if they can. And before you do that, I'm just going to, you know, put in a question here for you to kind of think about, you know, and that'll be my final question.
Sure.
Is what is the one thing I didn't ask you that I should have asked you? And that'll be my final question. So before we go there, how can people reach out to you?
Okay, so I'm very easy to find. I'm the only Regina Peterbergsky that exists, so you're not going to have difficulty. I'm on all the social platforms, including Clubhouse, as that. My branding is Women on Amazon, so I have a podcast, which is the Women on Amazon podcast. There's also a Clubhouse club. There's a Facebook group. And if somebody wants to know more about the different business models, I do have a little cheat sheet that they can access for free, and I can give you the link on how they can get that if they like. But if they want to get in touch with me personally, I spend most of my time on Facebook Messenger. That's the easiest way to connect with me directly and the fastest.
Great. We will put all that in the show notes, folks. So yeah, that's great. All right. This was amazing, Regina. Thank you so much for being so generous. The final question I have for you is, what is that one question I didn't ask you that I should have asked you?
Oh, how many cats have I got? I've got three. And does that make me a crazy cat lady? I don't know. We're debating whether three tips you over the edge of crazy cat lady or not.
Yeah, yeah. Regina, this was really incredible. Thank you for being an inspiration to the e-commerce community. Everything that you shared and continue sharing, you know, really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to chat with you today, Salim. Thank you.
You take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Money Map podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at ecommercemoneymap.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about the E-Commerce Accounting Hub, visit ecommerceaccountinghub.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the E-Commerce Money Map podcast.